Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
We would like to acknowledge that this podcast maiden is being held on Aboriginal land, the land of the Wurundjeri people of the Kulin Nation. And we would like to pay respect to their elders past, present and emerging. And their multiple birth parents with children with disabilities.
And this week we're talking to gorgeous P-Mum Erin, a great member of the Hangout and a really amazing supporter of the P-Tribe.
This podcast contains truth, laughter and the occasional F-word, so it's not really suitable for children.
Sometimes you just have to get your shits out. Shit, 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 shit. That's right, this is a language warning. Oh, shit.
Hello, Mandy.
Hello, Kate.
Well, as we are podcasting, you know, I know you're going to hear this a week later, but it has been horrendous weather in this country of
ours.
Yes,
it has.
Really, really, really has. So we won't make light of the weather.
No, we're
it
not
is perfect in Melbourne today. I don't know how it's like the axis has flipped and Melbourne's getting the good weather, but you guys, I know the rains have probably stopped, but the cleanup has not.
Yeah,
so yeah,
so
we're
Brisbane,
thinking of you,
Northern New South Wales.
I think even down to Sydney now.
Terrible. We won't make light of it tonight.
No, but don't take it out on the bomb. It's not their fault.
No, it's not their fault. And we've spoken to them and they get really upset when people criticise them.
They do. And so, I was talking to number one daughter this morning and I said, well, so far we've lived through a 1 in 100 year pandemic, 1 in 100 year bushfires, 1 in 100 year flood, 1 in 100 year rain event.
Yes.
How many 1 in 100 years have we have to live through?
It's a lot.
Anyway, thinking of you all.
Yes.
Yeah. So
it sounds trite, but we
We really are. Yeah. I just think cleaning up mud. Oof.
Oh. Yeah, and for LRP families up there and for people that were scared and couldn't get their kids safe. Oh, my gosh.
Oh, I can't. It's
so many things.
Yeah, it was very was traumatic watching it, so I can't even begin to imagine living it. I won't pretend, but anyway,
Today we're here with our gorgeous guest, Erin. You want to say hello?
Hi.
Nice. So great to have you in the pod bar.
So great. Can't believe we can have people back.
Yes.
It's just been so long of not.
Yes.
Yeah. So 2 weeks in a row.
Yeah. Right. Okay. Wow. Let's start with the questions.
Okay. The first question we have for you is there a song or a band or music that either lifts you up or gets you through the bad times?
Yeah. At least for the last few years, the main band that has a song for both the good and the bad is Jetty Road.
Oh. They just live around here.
Yeah. They're a local band.
Yes. Staged their house.
Dreamer and Because We Can are great songs to get up and dance to. And then if you're feeling in a rut and you to get you out of it, or times when you just can't get out of that rut, they've got a song called Wait for Tomorrow. That it's just that really good reminder to just forget about today, no matter how crap it is. Just sit with it and wait till tomorrow because it's surely going to be better.
And they are identical twins.
Are they?
Yes.
The singers of Jetty Road are identical.
I don't know them.
Has twins.
Right.
They live in, I won't say, but it's.
Right. Around here.
Really around here.
I didn't know that.
I staged Paula. I staged her house when she sold. And, so they are, you can imagine the harmonies with identical twin girls. Man, you would love their music.
I would love them.
Jetty Road.
Okay. I'm going to look them up.
Yeah. We'll tag them. They're lovely.
Thank
They're really, really lovely. Yeah.
What about, did you win any awards at school?
Wasn't big on getting awards at school itself, although there's one I can remember in primary school.
Yeah.
Just because every time you go to a new school, you really want to be pointed out.
Yeah.
The principal did the new student award.
No!
And pulled myself and my siblings up in front of the entire school.
Oh.
Just to embarrass us even more. And we were only at that school for 4 weeks before moving again.
Oh, really?
How many schools did you go to?
11 primary schools.
Wow.
Why? You don't have to tell me.
We moved a lot.
Right, okay. Oh,
yeah. I went to 5 or 6 and I thought that was horrendous.
Yeah, 11.
Starting Starting school, middle of the term, sometimes middle of the week.
Yeah.
Is revolting.
Yeah.
Oh, it's so hard. And I know all of our kids, well, a majority of the P's have all changed schools. Yeah. So, yeah, it's not fun.
Crazy.
Yeah. Mm. Well, good award.
Yeah. Good award.
Yeah. All right, now our favourite question. Why are you a P?
I'm a P on many levels. Mm. So my grandfather was a quadriplegic.
Right.
And my father was deaf and blind.
Right.
I'm studying to be a teacher.
Yes.
And the main reason is my daughter. I've been mum to Sarah for 20 years. She has Rett syndrome. And, yeah, I adopted her when she was 8.
We want to hear everything. Yeah. That is a big P story.
It's a huge P story.
Yeah,
yeah. Yeah. Wow.
Right.
Awesome. Yeah. Okay, so let's go back to you. What happened when Sarah was 8 that she was so lucky enough to be brought into your home?
I had known her since she was born. Her family, her birth family, were friends of my family.
Right.
And we pretty much grew all. My family were going through a difficult time when she was born. And she was used as a distraction for me.
Yeah.
As a come and play with the baby, come and babysit.
Yeah.
So right from the beginning I was babysitting, having her for hours, days.
Wow.
When she was 3 or 4 she came and lived with my mother and I for 6 months.
Right.
Well, so you've always been in her life.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then I'd been having her for weekends and her birth family had had a lot of challenges to deal with.
Right.
And on her 8th birthday, I got asked to keep her. So I did.
Wow.
Oh, and were you just like, I can't believe this?
I said to her birth mum when she, because I'd said, when do you want me to bring her home?
Yep.
And normally I'd take her sort of Friday to Monday and then she'd go off to school and then she'd go home from there.
Yep.
And this particular day, I think I'd left her until the Saturday to pick her up. So did they want me to have her for longer?
Yeah.
So I said, like, oh, when do you want me to bring her home? And the birth mum said, never, I can't do this anymore.
Mm.
Oh, and I'm like, oh, don't tell me that. I'll believe you and I'll keep her.
Yeah.
And she's like, you're ready, I'm ready, Sarah's ready. So, yeah, we took a bit of to-ing and fro-ing to sort things out, but yeah.
And does Sarah have siblings?
Yes.
Yeah.
She's got a few siblings.
Wow. What a. Imagine if you hadn't been there.
How old were you? If you don't 19. Mind saying that.
19? You were 19? Yes. Because I was looking at you thinking, gee, she's very young.
I know.
You do. And you are. Okay.
You are. You were 19. Erin. Yeah.
You're a super P.
Wow. Where were you at in your life?
Yeah, and how did you fund all this?
Wow. Total big story.
It is. Oh, no, big story.
So I had finished school, spent a year at TAFE, and had started working in admin.
Yep.
Not what I'd trained for, but it was a job.
Yep.
And at that stage, still living at home, and, yeah, just changed everything and took her on. There was no question about it.
Did you keep working?
I did for a little while, and then it just got too hard. I had
very tricky.
One of my managers at the time, I had to take a day off because there was a teacher strike.
Yeah.
Mm. And what am I meant to do with my kid when she doesn't have school?
Yes.
So took a day off, and my boss said to me at the time, she's like, well, you need to make a choice. You either come to work or you don't come back at all.
Oh.
And I'm like, well, my child comes first.
Yes, yes. That's not a choice, actually.
So
it's the only way to do it.
That's it. So finished working full time and had a few part time jobs working in between myself and my mother, helping to find that balance of care for another couple of years until we moved out and it was just too hard to work.
Yeah.
Oh, and I think that is the refrain from this whole P tribe.
Yeah.
And that is why carers must be given
on
super.
On your own.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Were you in Melbourne or have you come where
we've
live,
been Melbourne Eastern suburbs the whole time.
Yeah.
Represent, babe. Represent.
Yeah. That's it. We're locals.
Yeah, we sure are.
Yeah.
Oh,
wow. Gosh. Okay. And so Was Sarah at mainstream school?
No. Yep. So she was at an SDS.
Yep.
Special development school.
Yeah.
Which is for kids, I think, what is it, under 50 IQ or under? Yeah. So yeah, she was full time there. Had always been there. We did change her to a different school for a few years. To a specialist school for kids with physical needs and medical needs.
Right.
And then she went back to the SDS for a couple of years before graduating.
Mm. Yeah.
Can you tell us a bit about Rett syndrome?
Yeah.
Yeah, so Rett is a genetic condition. Sarah doesn't actually have the gene, but it's the thing that she ticks the most boxes for.
Right.
So Rett mainly affects girls. So it's 1 in 10,000 girls, 1 in a million boys.
Wow.
Generally, and sorry for the boys out there if I say girls, but generally the kids are born, typical.
Right. Yeah.
And they start developing, hitting the regular milestones. That can be for 6 months, 12 months, 18 months, some longer, with very limited difference to what's expected of development.
Yep.
And then they'll just stop.
Okay.
And then there's sort of like different progression stages where they learn skills can lose.
Right.
And yeah.
So, and it's a is it physical disability?
It's physical, yeah. So generally the girl the girls and boys.
It's fine.
Yeah, it's okay. Most of them, some walk but most don't.
Yep.
Most are nonverbal.
Yeah.
Most often they're tube feeds, not always, but sometimes similar. There's a little tagline that goes with it, which is imagine cerebral palsy, autism, Parkinson's and epilepsy in one little girl.
Mm. Wow.
And that's Rett syndrome.
Yeah. So, you know, you took all that on because you love her. So what is so awesome about her that you thought, yeah, I need her in my life?
There wasn't even a thinking process. I just did it.
You just really loved her.
Just, yeah.
She was always supposed to be yours.
Yep.
Yeah.
Wow.
Oh, goodness.
I know.
Beautiful. Oh, Erin.
Okay, so what did that look like when you moved out on your own with her? Like what, when you, did it limit your friendship and your...
Yeah, it did. There was a lot of other stuff going on as well at the same time, which was why we had to move.
Yeah.
And I went from having fairly reasonable size friendship group, support group, good work around Sarah's needs to had to stop working. We were homeless. We were most of my friends suddenly just dropped me.
It's funny that, isn't it?
Because
it's too hard.
I don't have a babysitter.
Yeah.
Yes.
People don't like that.
Yeah.
They really don't like it.
We kind of went from a good group to... two core friends,
yeah,
and that was it for a while.
Goodness.
I think so many things can happen in life that are traumatic, but you actually find out who your friends are.
Yes.
You know, and it's horrible, revolting going through it, but.
It's a lot to go through in your early 20s, though, isn't it? Yeah.
That's it. It was pretty full on for a while then.
And did you meet friends through Sarah?
Yeah, so it was at that time that she changed to a different school.
Mm.
And then the two main friends were mums from that school.
Yeah.
And, yeah, just sort of built on from there. And over time have caught back up with some friends and re-established relationships and friendships there. But, yeah, predominantly it was all through stuff with Sarah, so through school, through what else were we doing? Like her bowling that she was doing at the time.
Yeah.
Just other
support
opportunities.
Groups.
Yeah.
Yeah. Did you, how did you find somewhere to live?
That was challenging because trying to find a rental when you've got a child with high needs and
you're a single parent.
That's it. They trying to get approved when you're on a pension.
Yes.
Trying to find a house that's accessible. Like you can't have a shower over a bath.
No.
Yes.
So we went through Wesley Housing Service at the time.
Good, yep.
And they helped get us into somewhere and then we were sort of in and out of temporary options and eventually now we have stability.
Yes.
So close to the house that you're in, can you stay there?
It's a rental, but yeah, at this stage there's no intention of us moving at this point.
Good. I think in Europe you can like take out a 20-year lease. Can you imagine that?
The stability.
Imagine
that.
Life changing.
Just, every 12 months someone can evict you.
Yes.
Oh, it's just our rental system is broken and on all levels.
In that, they can just suddenly give you 90 days notice or 60 days notice.
That's right.
Yeah. And we're bringing someone through to have a look at it. Mm. This is my home.
Yeah.
It's anyway, and even more tricky when you're a P.
So I'm interested to hear about what it was like growing up as a shoot.
As a
child of someone with a disability. Dad.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think I knew any different. Mm. He had a condition called Usher syndrome.
Right.
Which is a vision and hearing impairment.
Yes.
We didn't know that until he was in his 50s.
So he wasn't diagnosed with it, or he didn't know?
He was always told that his vision and hearing impairment was caused by his mother having rubella.
Yes.
Which so well could be.
Yeah, that's it. He was diagnosed at 4 with a hearing impairment and then started losing his vision in his 20s.
Oh, gosh.
And, yeah, was always told it was because his mum had rubella.
Yeah.
And it wasn't until I think the mid-90s he had to finish his job as a sheet metal worker because his vision was getting too bad. And then he linked in with what used to be RVIB.
Royal Victorian Institute for the Blind.
And there was a staff member there who had been doing some research on Ushers and said, I think you have this. Have you ever been genetic tested?
Right.
And he was, oh, no, no, no. But went for the blood test and sure enough, he was diagnosed.
Right.
And is that, do you carry that gene or is that?
Yeah. So myself and my 3 siblings are all carriers.
Right.
And then,
Wow.
Hasn't been passed on.
And
so is it a degenerative condition?
Yes. So his hearing was fairly stable throughout his life until age started to impact. But his vision, he started to have night blindness and tunnel vision in his 20s.
Scary.
And then that gradually deteriorated as he got older.
Yeah. Do you remember that impacting you as a child?
Not really. Like I knew there was a time, the biggest change was when Dad couldn't drive anymore.
That's huge.
So like we used to go away camping all the time and suddenly he can't drive, so we've got to depend on public transport.
Yes.
Did your mum drive?
She did, but that's separated by then.
Okay, right. Yeah.
And
did you live between them?
No, we didn't stay with Dad at all.
Right. Yeah,
it was only when we went away.
Okay.
Yeah, and I suppose that was your special time.
Yeah.
To see Dad, we go camping.
That's it.
Must have been a loss for him.
Yeah, huge.
Mm.
He was able to, he was a big bike rider as well. So he just picked up the bike riding for as long as he could.
Yeah.
So he would have lost his license in the mid 90s, I think. And 2002 he got a tandem bike. So by then he couldn't ride on his own anymore.
Right.
And then we would do bike riding trips with him on the tandem.
Oh, that's cute. Nice.
And took Sarah along on a few.
Yeah, did you?
which she loves bikes still now.
Does she?
Of those trips.
And the speed.
It's freedom.
Mm. Yeah.
And she'll, like, if she sees bikes, she'll ask for Poppy.
Yeah.
Which she can't have because he passed away 6 years ago.
Yeah.
So,
sorry. Well, what an impact it made on her.
Yeah.
Huge.
She remembers.
Mm.
Goodness.
Wow.
What about getting back to Sarah? When you became a mum, were you prepared for hospital visits and appointments and all that sort of stuff? What did that look like for her?
It was a big throw in the deep end.
Yeah.
And she wasn't seeing a lot of specialists at that point.
Right.
So that kind of came over time when early on I linked into a specialist at the Children's Hospital who was a specialist with Rhett. There was a clinic there at the time. And they got us in and they were the ones who started questioning, like, is it Rhett, is it not?
Right.
And by then there was a genetic test.
So they
did the genetic test and said, well, no, we don't think she has it, but she still has a lot of the symptoms, so let's just see how this goes. And at that stage there was still a percentage, I'm not sure the numbers, but there was still a high percentage of people who were clinically diagnosed. And genetic research has gotten better, so that percentage is much lower now, but back then it was still quite high.
Mm.
And, yeah, we sort of started seeing specialists then, but mostly – just to sort of get a baseline of where she was at and to find what needed to be monitored.
And how did like, I was a young mum, so I was 21 when I had the sound engineer, and people didn't respect me at all. Like, they just, you know, you don't know what you're doing, which half the time was true, but none of us do ever.
Yeah.
But did you face that?
Yeah, a lot.
Would think, yeah.
Particularly with school and services that she was already linked into.
Yes.
They just saw me as a young carer who had no idea what I was doing.
Yeah.
Because I lived, at that stage we lived with my mother.
Yes.
They would ring her instead of me. And it's like, no, I'm the primary contact.
Yes.
She's the grandmother. She's supporting me, not the other way around. Yeah. And then we went through a stage where I wouldn't tell people that she was adopted.
Yes.
And I would kind of just really ignore.
Don't really have to.
We don't mind now.
No, I know, but still.
It's just part of who we are.
Yeah,
but
it's an awesome
there
story.
Was quite a time there where I tried to hide, actively hide it.
Right.
Because I just didn't want, and I wouldn't tell people how old she was or how old I was.
Yeah.
Just because they would do the maths
and
start
go,
asking questions.
Yeah.
And she's gorgeously youthful.
She is.
Isn't she?
She looks like she's probably 10 years younger than what she actually is, which is helpful.
She does.
And she always has been small and young.
Yes.
Probably because she doesn't eat any chocolate like the rest of us.
Yeah, well, yeah. Very well.
Yeah.
True.
Was she tube fed when you?
No.
No, okay.
No. So
when did that all happen?
She's never been good with eating.
Yeah.
When she was little, she was such a challenge to eat. At eight, it would often take half an hour, 45 minutes to get the first spoonful in.
Yes.
And then she would eat fine.
Yeah.
So by her mid-teens, she was like, she was eating really well by that point. But she just wasn't eating enough.
Yes.
So she was getting sick and then she would stop eating.
Yes.
And it might be for a day or two. And then she'd get sick again and she'd stop eating and it would be for a week.
And food promotes food, and like sleep promotes sleep.
Yeah. And she got to the point where she was sick all the time. We were in and out of hospital a monthly because she was dehydrated from not eating, not drinking. And that went on for about 18 months, 2 years
finally
did the peg.
And so tiring.
Yeah, and it takes up a lot of your thinking, doesn't it?
Yeah.
And worry.
Yes. We should say that Erin was the inspiration behind the blend.
Yes.
So if you listen to our episode with Melanie, I don't know, just a few weeks back.
Yes. Feeding Tube Awareness Week.
Yeah, Feeding Tube Awareness Week. Yeah. And Melanie was struggling with feeding.
And Erin just came
Erin just messaged
in.
Her and said, hang on.
Yeah.
Let me tell you.
I felt like such a rectum putting that comment up.
And
I'm
it
like,
changed her life.
Oh.
Didn't want to, like, telling her, basically, it felt like what I was saying at that time was basically telling her she's not doing a good enough job.
No, you but gave her hope.
Yeah.
She was in and out of hospital constantly.
This is the challenge of being a wisdom pea.
Yes.
It's like, how much do we say and how much do we not say, isn't it?
And do we let other people have
their... Do we let them have their moment and work things out, or actually is there a moment where you step in like you did and just say, listen, just do it.
It's not going to work.
It's not going to work. Just do it this way.
Stop stressing yourself out.
Yeah.
Try this.
Isn't that a gift, though?
It is. It lies.
I love it when wise women tell me.
You changed your life. Me too, and I stop and listen.
Not just her life. She's now written a whole magazine. She's like, you've changed so many people's lives by being brave enough to go, maybe not.
Yeah, we're really proud of you for that.
Blend food. Try blending food. Yeah. So, yeah.
Did you have to come to terms with that? Like when she got the peg, were you
So
formula?
Initially she was on formula because the hospitals tell you that's only way to do it.
Yeah.
Like, they forget that before we had formula.
She was eating.
Us personally, but in tube feeding.
Yeah.
And a lot of aged care facilities still do blenderized food.
When I worked in aged care, we did blended food.
Yes.
We didn't. Yeah.
You didn't have formula.
No.
So, when you're through the hospitals, they don't give you the option. Or at least when we were there, they don't talk about blenderized. So we tried to persist with formula and it just didn't work. It was enough that got her well so she could eat more orally. But then we started having vomiting issues.
Yes.
Yeah.
Which is pretty common.
Yeah.
Very common.
So then after I don't know how many years, a friend of ours started on blended. And she's like, you've got to try this.
Right.
So we tried it and we haven't looked back.
Yeah.
That food is what your body can, like, yes. It just makes sense.
That's it.
And if formula works for you, that's fine.
Yeah. That's it. There's a place for formula. Yes. But particularly for people and kids who have been eating orally.
Yeah.
To take them back to formula.
Yeah.
It often doesn't work.
No.
So
how did you know
there's another option?
How, like, did you know how to blend food? Yeah. Like, who, did that friend talk you through it?
Did you
get a fancy pants mixer?
What
did
you have? Have you got a Thermomix?
Yes. Yes.
Great.
I think that's the best use for them.
Oh, yeah.
We've got the Thermomix and the Nutri Ninja. Great. And between the two, it works a treat.
Great. Oh. Great.
And so do you make all your own?
We make our own, but we also Sarah Thomas's Wholesome Blends.
Yeah, great.
They were a lifesaver.
Oh, life changing.
Oh, and it's just like being able to go to Macca's, you know, or get Uber Eats.
That's it.
It's just everyone deserves a day off.
That's her takeaway.
Yes. And does she have a favorite blend, or does she not care at all?
She really doesn't care.
Yeah.
It's when she's eating orally, she's got textural issues.
Mm. Yeah.
So as long as food looks fine, she doesn't care what it tastes like or what's in it, as long as it looks suitable.
Yeah, okay.
And same with blends. As soon as you get the tube out, she's lifting her shirt, ready to go. She gets so excited. She loves it. Doesn't care what's going in. Can be water, can be food, whatever. She loves it.
Yep. She's
can
ready.
Be medication. She's like ready. She's excited about medication.
Does she?
Wow. Not when it's oral, but down the drain.
Yeah.
Oh, well, yeah. She's probably like, great.
Put it in me. I don't care.
That's it.
I'm going to feel better soon.
When she was approaching the end of, like, secondary school, How did you think about that, manage that?
That was a little bit scary.
Yeah.
So I started looking early. So when she was the equivalent of year 10.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Myself and a couple of other mums with kids the same age, we went around to a few centres.
Yeah.
And it's like, okay, let's go and see what options are out there.
Yes.
And try to reduce the fear of what's going to happen next.
Yeah. Do it early.
And that just kind of scared us a bit because that first time walking in and seeing these big facilities and – most of them are lovely, but it's just a shock.
Well, it's not the life path that most people take. So no one talks about it. So you don't see it. And
that's it.
Yeah.
And then the next year, the same group, we went out to a few again.
That's such a good idea.
And sort of came down with a short list.
Great idea to go together.
And then the final
Great
year when idea. We had to make decisions.
Yeah, you'd really
we
have
were
time.
Able to go to the short list and pick. We actually, for Sarah, we decided not to do day programs.
Yeah. Right.
We've tried a couple part-time.
Yep, okay.
And they just didn't work for her.
Yeah.
So they're great for other people. They just didn't work awesome. For us and for Sarah.
So you're allowed to do part-time? You could pick and choose
So you can do, you could do one day a week at five different centres if that's what you choose.
Yeah.
If that's right for the person.
So
we were doing 2 days a week at one centre and then 3 days a week at home.
Right.
Yep.
And that was just before NDIS came in. So her home days, when she was at the centre, her home days equated to maybe like 6 hours a week.
Yeah.
Which is not a lot.
No.
And then once she was able to get NDIS, and by then we'd stopped going to day programs.
Yeah.
We tried but 2 days a week each of them, and it just was too much for her.
Yeah, as in tiring?
Yeah, Sarah likes her sleep.
Yes.
I feel her.
That's it. So having the set, even school the last couple of years, she didn't cope with the 9 till 3.
Yes.
No. So being able to have support workers at home, and if she wants to sleep until 10, she can.
That's
if she wants to be up before they get there, she can.
Have a little nap at 3 p.m., she can.
Yeah. That's it. So, having that one-on-one, she can go out and about in the community at a time that suits her.
Yes.
So that's what works. Yeah. And having the NDIS now allows that.
Life-changing.
Gone from 6 hours to 25 hours a week.
Yeah, incredible, Erin.
Yeah, she.
How did you manage all that when that came in?
I don't know how I've managed to go so smoothly.
Yeah.
But we've actually had a pretty smooth NDIS
Great.
Ride. And when I hear people struggling, I'm like, I feel really bad saying that we've had no issues. But I'm grateful that we've had no issues.
No. Preach it. That's what we want here.
Yeah. So the first planning meeting I went into, completely underprepared.
Yeah.
Because you don't know what to do. Said, this is what we need.
Mm.
And they just approved it all.
Terrific.
And that's actually how it should be. Yeah. And I know that for some of our kids, their diagnoses are tricky and not that it's supposed to be diagnosis-based, but I really, really, really would hope to God that they would go, okay, this human really needs this.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, you shouldn't be fighting for – you weren't fighting for an iPad. Not that there's anything wrong with that.
Yeah.
You know, you're like, my beautiful child wants to be able to go out when she wants to go out. Like, that's right. A completely different scenario.
How did you find support workers –
That's manage an all ongoing that, 'cause that
feels
struggle.
Like a, it feels like a full-time job.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We go through stages. At the moment we're in a bit of a transition. We've had a couple of support workers either increase load at university or graduate from uni, so they've gone on to work.
Yes.
A couple have moved away. So at one stage we went from 6 support workers down to 1. And now I think we're back at 3 or 4 at the moment that we're working through. It gets challenging when you get a phone call or when you make a phone call at 9:30 after a support worker's meant to have already been there 45 minutes to find out, oh, no, they're not coming ever.
Yes.
And lack of communication with the agencies, but we're moving more to private support workers.
Yeah.
Which is harder to find but easier to coordinate. To
manage, I think so too. True.
Yeah.
That's the truth.
Yep. You're the boss then.
Yeah.
I feel like I'm the boss.
That's it. Yeah. And you're then talking directly
to the person. They have a relationship
with you.
Yeah.
Your child.
That's
and so
right.
Then it's, it's easy to ring nobody and go, oh, I'm sleeping in. But it's if when they know you and they're like, no, I'm going to go.
Yeah.
And I think I reckon people don't understand what it's like to have a support worker cancel or a carer cancel.
Oh,
like the P's understand, but you know, you might have planned to go to a wedding.
Oh, or you went to uni.
Yeah.
You posted the other day.
Yes.
And what happened?
Had to take her with me. I had the phone call I made the phone call to find out where is this worker to be told, oh no, they're not coming. And there wasn't time to organise another option. So she had to come to uni with me.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, it's not the end of the world. Uni are fantastic.
Of course.
The lecturer actually thought that Sarah was the student and I was her aide.
Oh.
but it's just that inconvenience and that I'm trying to make sure Sarah's okay and that she's not being a distraction to anybody.
Yes, it's more stress.
It's not fun for her.
And I'm not then able to focus on what I need to be doing.
No, it is a problem.
Yeah.
It's not a problem in that you don't mind being with your child, but it is.
Yeah.
And all of us, and I think we find it really hard to admit this, we do need time.
Yeah. Yes.
Okay? And it's you feel like somehow you're letting down all of sisterhood and womanhood and motherhood by saying it, but we do need time where you go, I know that my beautiful kids, any kids, you know, they're being looked after and I can do this for an hour.
Mm. Yeah.
You know, so you deserve that like everybody else does. So
tell us about wanting to be a teacher.
Yeah.
I think I was about 12 when I decided I wanted to be a teacher.
Oh.
And then when I was 15, I think 14, 15, Sarah was actually going to a early education centre attached to a school.
Yep.
So I started volunteering at the school, just because I wanted to sort of see what it was all about.
Yeah.
And by the end of day one, that was it. I wanted to be in special ed. And I've wanted that ever since.
Yeah.
Long journey to get there, but eventually,
8 months
to go.
Oh, mum, no, months to I go. Know. Cheer you on.
We'll have a P graduation.
Yes. Incredible.
Yep. Oh, wow.
Yeah.
How long are you doing it part time?
Yeah.
So, how long has it taken?
longer than it should have.
No.
So, I actually started in 2008.
Yep.
And then studied part-time for a couple of years at one uni online. Then Sarah got really sick, so I just had to put it aside.
Of course.
Then went to another uni online and that just didn't work. Mm. Then went back to the original one and then could have been gaps in between. It wasn't continuous.
Yep.
Between Sarah's needs and then my dad getting sick and when he died and then I had a car accident
and I was
just failing everything.
Oh.
That's it. And then I was done. I was going to quit. It's like, nah, not for me.
Yep.
And a friend mentioned to me about the uni that I'm at now, saying that they were introducing like a special ed focus degree. And I'm like, okay, I'll look into that.
Yeah. I didn't know that existed either.
Yeah. It's sort of been around at a few for a while, yeah. but it's only just starting to be introduced across the board.
Yeah.
So there will be more.
Great. Yeah. We need coming more, through, please.
Which will be good.
Yeah.
But yeah, I ended up signing up to this uni, which is the best thing I could have done.
Oh.
The only thing was that I lost some credits, so I've had to redo a whole heap of stuff.
Oh, that's not fair.
But so yeah, it's taken a lot longer than it.
But 18 months
would have. But yeah, 18 months to go. 3 semesters.
Oh, how did it go during the C word?
Yeah. Ugh, nightmare.
Yeah.
The first year was a real struggle from going from on campus.
Yeah.
And the first year, unofficially, I was meant to be online anyway.
Yeah.
Because we were meant to be travelling.
Right.
So I would have probably had even less support.
Yeah.
If I had have been doing it unofficially online than when they went online.
When everyone
online.
Was doing it, yeah.
But, yeah, it was not great as the lecturers transitioned from in-class sort of delivery to trying to figure out how do we do this all online now. Mm. And the different software that they were using, it just made it really difficult.
Yeah.
And of course, not necessarily having support workers, I wasn't able to go, right, you've got Sarah for a few hours.
Yes.
And even when we had support workers in the house, I was still there.
Yeah.
Because couldn't go anywhere. And that meant Sarah knew I was home and she wanted me.
Of course.
So it's like I would be in a lecture online and she'd be knocking on the door. It's like,
it was just impossible.
It was so hard. Yeah. So I did manage to pass, but yeah, grades went down over COVID.
Yeah.
But
well,
by the end of the second year, the uni had, they'd figured it all out.
Yes, of course.
Much, much better.
Got your back
delivery.
Now.
But, yeah, back on campus. This was the first week back. So,
and Sarah got to go with you.
And Sarah got to go with me on day two.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much. But when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Tell us about the trip you had planned.
Our trip. It was meant to be the trip of a lifetime.
Oh.
So we, just through where life was at, we had an opportunity to just pack everything up and move into our caravan and travel Australia for 12 months.
Do you tow the caravan?
Yeah.
Okay. I think that's the next thing I have to conquer, being able to tow something.
She's got the car.
I'll teach you.
I can drive a truck, but I don't know how to tow.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's doable.
Yeah.
It's doable.
Okay. I'm scared of it. But yeah, sorry, your story.
It's all good. That's okay.
It's not about me and my towing.
Can share. Yeah.
I want photos of that lesson.
And I don't know my left and right, but apart from that, it's
that's all good.
Did you have a caravan ready?
Yeah, so we've had a caravan for a couple of years and we about 6 months before we decided, or around the time we decided to do the trip, my old car decided that it had had enough, so we had to upgrade. And it's like, well, now we've got the car, we've got the caravan.
Yeah.
There's nothing stopping us. Where life was at, I would be able to take that year and do it online because I didn't have any placement scheduled.
Yeah.
So we kind of planned a few, rather than just going and doing a lap, we kind of planned a few sort of little trips that we could come back easy if things weren't going to plan.
Yep.
So, like, we did Great Ocean Road, made sure we had everything and we didn't have too much and we didn't leave anything behind, and then we came back and did a bit of a swap around. And then at the same time we were going down Gippsland to the New South Wales coast was when all the bushfires were on.
Oh,
so we got moved around a bit from the bushfires.
Yes.
And then we'd done sort of a, so we'd gone up the New South Wales coast into Tamworth, and then we were going clockwise from there. And we'd gotten just across the Nullarbor when COVID, when we left South Australia, COVID was just this thing in China.
Yeah.
By the time we settled over in Busselton, a couple of hours south of Perth, COVID was a nightmare.
Wow. And did you didn't get stuck there?
No, we nearly did. We were, so yeah, in Busselton, and the border restrictions were announced, and I had heaps of people ringing me, messaging, going, are you guys okay? What are you going to do?
And we didn't understand it then.
No.
That's it.
I mean, it's been two years. I mean, Perth is actually opening today.
But, yes. Yeah. Fingers crossed.
Yes.
Yeah, and at that point, because one of our backup plans the whole way along was that if something went wrong, like if I ended up in hospital or if Sarah got sick, I could call someone and within 24 hours I could fly someone to wherever we were.
Yes.
That was our backup plan. When the borders are about to be closed and we didn't have that.
Yes.
It was just panic of like, how do I protect my child in a state when we're like, we know people over there, but we don't know them as much as people over here.
And just the thought of not being able to get on a plane, it never crossed my mind.
That's it. Within our own country, it's just foreign.
Yeah.
Not anymore, but it was at the time.
Yeah, yeah.
And, yeah, so we had to make the choice. And thank goodness Sarah's good in the car.
Right.
Because we had to make the choice to just go. And it was, we had 48 hours to get from where we were in Busselton to get into South Australia.
And how long does that normally take?
It's about a 24-hour drive of just driving time.
So did you just drive and then nap and then drive and
then
nap?
Yeah, so we left
just the two of you?
Yeah, it was just the two of us.
Right.
So, and we were
I'm assuming she doesn't share the driving.
No.
No.
She just won't ring
she
up.
She won't.
And,
yeah.
No, just
Gosh.
Like, she loves driving but expects me to do all the work. Drive the
typical
car, set
child.
The caravan up.
Set the caravan up.
Yeah, yeah. We've got a few funny stories about that actually. But, yeah, so we left at 4 o'clock in the afternoon from Busselton. We drove to I don't even know what little town we stopped in. I'd said to Sarah, like, I'm getting tired, it's getting dark, we're going to need to find somewhere.
Yep. Yes.
Within a couple of hundred metres I saw a sign to a caravan park.
Wow.
We pulled into that caravan park. They were shut. There was no one there. We just found a spot and set up for the night.
They were shut. Fair enough.
it was such a tiny little town. There was only like 10 sites at this caravan park. They didn't have
security. They're
probably
like, what do you mean someone's here? No one comes here.
There was other vehicles there, but they were all doing the same thing that we were.
Okay, just getting out.
So, yeah,
they
made
a fortune in that caravan park.
If they had been open to take money and if I had known where I actually was so I could ring them up later.
No.
Were you panicking?
Oh, very much so.
Yeah, and then you don't know, not only might I not be able to get home, this terrible pandemic, which we didn't understand.
And we didn't even know where we were coming home to at that point because we had moved everything into storage. So we didn't have a home to come back to.
Of course.
Wow. So, and as we were talking earlier, it's not easy to get a house for a kid with needs.
It's not.
So, yeah, so we just were driving to an unknown destination at that point.
Oh, and the disappointment of your trip of a lifetime.
Very much so. Oh. And making sure that we met the deadline to cross that border because at that point the threat was if you didn't cross the checkpoint by a set time, they were going to stop you there for 2 weeks.
That's right.
When you've got a child who can't eat normal food.
No.
Can't drink normally, can't use, like she needs certain things to be able to function.
Mm.
And because before we left there'd been the restrictions at the supermarket.
Yes.
So I'd been going into the supermarket and I could only get 2 litres of her milk.
Yes.
She goes through 2 litres a day. Mm. And that doesn't include cooking.
They really
that's just
didn't
what she drinks.
Any of that into account. That was just absolutely forgot. And so many people who had, you know, disabled people in their lives or disabled themselves were stuck in cities or like that should have been exempt. It's just,
that's it.
These are the untold stories of that pandemic.
Definitely.
So you got there.
So, yeah, we eventually managed to get back and we crossed the checkpoint with 15 minutes to
I would have had to get off and do a I did it poo. You know, like everything's just going.
Thank goodness. I didn't realise that the checkpoint was so far into South Australia.
When we crossed, I thought it was on the border.
That's what everybody thought until the cut-off time.
New South Wales was in Wodonga.
Everyone that was driving east thought we had to be over the border
by
set time. And we kept driving and we got over the border, relaxed, kept driving, had to get to Sejuna, which is a 4 or 5 hour drive from the border.
No way.
I did not know that. Sorry.
Yeah. I just think everyone, yes, wow.
And, yeah, when we got through there, they had changed it. They weren't actually stopping people for 2 weeks.
Yes.
But they didn't tell you that until you got there. So you just had to sign. I mean, we didn't have to because we were over early enough.
Mm.
But people who came through 15 minutes later just had to sign a document to say where they were going to be for the next 2 weeks and expect checkups to make sure that they were where they said they were going to be.
Mm.
So...
How did you cope with all the driving? Like you just, I have to drive.
You just.
I just have to
pull. I crashed when we got back.
Yeah.
By the time we got
Red
back,
Bulls
a friend.
Or what were you drinking?
I'm not a coffee drinker.
Yeah. No.
I was drinking coffee.
Yes. And that's when it's a good time to not be a caffeine drinker. You're like, all right, game on.
I'm just like, you needed a mother.
You could have had the no-dos that they sell at the counter at the, the truck stops.
Oh,
the adrenaline.
Yeah.
Rushing. So did you then.
Massive.
You had to get out of South Australia too, though. Wasn't like all the borders
were
closing.
Yeah, we had to keep coming. So
I can't
we
remember
got
when
to.
It, they all shut.
It's coming up to the second anniversary of it all. The end of March.
Yes.
Well, it all started imploding on the 13th, didn't it? That's my memory. It's Friday the 13th of March.
Yeah, I think it was the 24th or 22nd of March that the borders shut.
Yep. Schools. I think I kept Buzz and Woody home.
For yeah, like I
two
think
or three days
was out
and then
beforehand.
School shut.
Yeah.
Yep.
Just looking it up. Doesn't matter.
Keep going.
But yeah, and by the time we got back to Melbourne, a friend of ours had organised her holiday house to be available for us.
Oh,
so we came back past her place, picked up the keys, and then drove down and spent 2 months at Phillip Island.
Right.
But
wasn't
once
it,
I got.
It wasn't a bad place to spend.
Well, but when you're on your own and you can't talk to anyone and people don't think
anyone.
You should be there because you're a tourist.
Really?
And trying to manage with all the mental load of it all and trying to still
and then
make
thinking,
Sarah's
I can't
names.
Go out because I have a medically complex child.
Yeah.
I know one of my work boys has his family have a holiday house on the coast and he was working at a hospital near there, so he went down there and he said the hatred.
Yeah,
but
because you're an outsider.
Did you really feel that?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, they didn't want anyone around.
I mean, I understand that to a degree, but.
Well, I think people felt like, oh, well, you're rich, so you're escaping to your holiday house.
But, no, you were
but
having,
actually didn't
you
really
were homeless.
Mm. Yeah. You weren't flying to Byron.
That's it.
And you had everything that Sarah needed?
Yeah, I mean, we had whatever we had in the caravan. Yeah. We did stop at our storage unit and picked up a few things.
Yeah.
And then over time, like, I mean, we weren't meant to go anywhere, but because we were coming back to look for houses and we were allowed to
allowed
that
to
at
do
that,
that
point, I was picking things up.
Yeah.
Oh
yeah, that would have been a lonely
time. I think that was probably 4 weeks after we'd been down at Phillip Island and then it's like I had to get out.
Yeah.
And we just didn't know. And I think – well, with that lockdown, we probably thought it was going to end.
Yeah, that's it. There's got to be an end in sight.
And then what happened?
Yeah, how'd you find a house?
So in that gap between the first and second lockdown, we managed to secure a rental.
Yeah.
And we had people help us move in that very short space. So, I mean, we were back near our people, but we still couldn't really socialise and do our normal thing.
Yes.
But, yeah, that little gap in between number one and two where things started
sort
to get back to normal.
Mm.
Yeah,
June,
it was June because it was the June-July school holidays that we went back into lockdown.
We did.
Sure did.
And then it was the long one.
It really was.
And
were you able to start looking for support workers then? Were you thinking, okay.
We had one person half lined up for when we were down at Phillip Island. We had her lined up for as soon as – we were closer to where we are now. Whatever availability she had was ours.
Yep, okay.
So we had that sort of carrot waiting for us. Mm. And then we'd organised, like we moved in at the end of term two. We organised she was going to start at the start of term three.
Mm.
And then when the lockdown happened, she messaged and she's like, oh, am I starting? Am I not? What do you want to do? I'm like, you need to come more for me than for Sarah.
Yes, I was going
to
say, you haven't
like,
had a break.
I need to see
and you're
humans.
So alone.
Yes.
Wasn't it terrible? And I was in a house with people, so I can't complain.
Yeah, but
it
was pretty brutal.
Mm. Just,
How did you cope?
I don't know if I did.
No, I don't
between,
think we did.
Between the support worker and that support worker's partner or wife, they're married now, started working for us as well because she had to shut her business down.
Yes.
So between the two of them working for us, and I found a great counsellor.
Yes.
Praise be.
And a couple of key friends sort of just checking in and ringing. Like there was days where like when it's just – you just want to focus on the essentials for you and your kid and – there was days where it's like you wouldn't even go out of the house for days on end because it's just meeting the basic needs of everyone.
Yeah.
All the
and
two
we
of
were
us.
Scared.
And, yeah, if like, friends didn't ring or FaceTime, I wouldn't have seen another human.
No.
And no one touches you.
Yeah.
You know, like just a hug from a friend is different from a family member.
And that was
member.
One of the toughest things when we first came back.
Yeah.
It's like our trip had just been cancelled.
Yeah.
You can. Yeah. Oh, it's enormous,
and
Erin.
Coming back and not being able to have a hug.
Yes, it was
terrible. Massive. Everyone was scared.
Massive.
Yeah.
Still now.
Yeah.
You meet people and they're like, I don't know, like I didn't hug you when I saw you. Like you just don't know what the protocol is anymore.
And that's it's changed. It's like all these social norms are no longer normal.
No.
Yeah, but the toll.
And how was Sarah about, like, my trip's cancelled, my mum's driving for 36 hours, I'm living in a different house. Like,
I'm really lucky with her. She just goes with the flow. I think out of
probably
all
probably not
of
just
her,
lucky,
she loves,
she's probably had stability with you.
Yeah.
And
so
the flow is you know. Yeah.
That's it. If I'm around, she's fine.
Yeah. You're a whole world.
She has some tough days when I leave her with people. But,
and you're allowed to do that.
Yeah. Oh, that's it. Yep. This morning it's like, sorry, I don't care if you're cranky with me. I'm walking out the door.
Yeah.
And I'll be back.
That's right.
Yeah.
And that's it. That's it. When she was younger, that was harder because
the
knowing her previous past and coming to me and having that stability and everything in her world came good, dropping her somewhere, and if she was getting upset, it's like, I can't do this.
Oh,
that separation anxiety that everyone has when their kids are little.
Yeah,
but
and
on steroids for you because she has been, someone did leave her and didn't come back. So.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But, yeah, so she's really good these days. She was just she's just happy with the caravan.
Yeah.
Like she'll sit in the car. She sits in the front seat.
Yeah.
And she'll just sit there looking in the mirror, making sure the caravan's still attached. And even now, like if I pull the caravan out because we're either going somewhere or I need to do something to it, she sees it in the driveway and she's like, oh, let's go, let's go.
That's awesome.
She's so excited.
Yeah, it's
because
you're providing her holidays.
Yeah.
That suit the both of you.
Yeah, that's it.
It's and that's so clever. Tricky to have.
It is tricky to have.
That is I don't think there's anything like seeing our kids excited.
Oh, yeah.
Nothing.
That's it.
Yeah.
Oh, that's so good. Well, you'll be caravanning forever, hopefully.
You will. What a woman.
Yes. We might need to change a few things one day, but yes.
Yes.
Okay.
Wow.
It's okay. So I loosely know, because I know some friends that go to the same church as yours, what's that like for you?
Oh, church is awesome. I haven't always been going to church. We actually linked into our church in 2012 because of Sarah.
Yeah, right.
So we
swapped. You came. We left.
Yeah.
Just
swap over.
Yeah. I'm glad for you.
Like at the time, we were still in a pretty messy housing situation. So we'd gotten through all the homelessness and gotten into government housing. So we had this amazing accessible property that we should have been able to stay in forever.
Yes, you should have.
But the neighbours were violent and were being protected by the department because
it's just
whatever
tricky.
Their situation was. And it got to the point where it was just too dangerous to stay living there. Around that time we'd been introduced to the church. So so another mum from school had introduced us to the church and they were running a day, a special kids day. So every 8 weeks they do this thing called Engage where instead of going to a church morning, you go out into the community and it might be that you know an elderly person who needs their backyard tidied up. Or it might be that someone's just had an operation and they need help around the house to clean up it might be that a group get together in someone's kitchen and make meals to be delivered to people. There's a group that go to the blood bank these days.
Awesome.
There's just all sorts of different community focus. So this particular day they had organised a special kids' day. So it was kids with disabilities were invited along. Aww. Their parents were given a little pack with some vouchers and some $20 to go to the local cafes, get a breakfast, have a coffee, have some time out, be back here by 1 o'clock.
Brilliant.
Hello. Thank you.
So, yeah, Sarah was invited along. They did a meet and greet beforehand to make sure they knew what all their needs were. And she went along, had an amazing time. Two of the young girls that looked after her on that day have actually become our support workers off and on over the years. After that, because they knew what our housing situation was being really tricky at the time, they said to me, like, oh, just come along to get out of the house.
Yes.
And we've been going ever since.
This is what churches are so, so good at. And I'm sure it involved a lot of women because I think the women at the church are the absolute
the drivers.
They nurture and take care.
Like, I don't have the best relationship with my family, but through them, I've got a family.
So important. So
brilliant.
So glad.
And, awesome, you know, someone... What a brilliant idea. Any community group that's listening, give someone a breakfast voucher, some smashed Avo that hardly any of us can afford.
Yeah.
And
have your child
have an awesome morning. Oh, that's brilliant.
That's the church at its best.
Yeah.
Hey?
Yes. Definitely.
Yeah. Oh, I'm so glad for you. Yeah. And it's a good way to feel like you're part of a community.
That's it. And we definitely are. What are we? Nearly 10 years on.
Yeah.
We're still there. I've got people that, I consider sisters because they're closer than I am with my actual sister.
Yeah.
I don't have a relationship with my mother, so there's a lady who doesn't come to the church anymore. She's gone somewhere else because of work.
Yeah.
But I consider her my church mum.
Absolutely.
And if I need mum advice, she's the one I go to.
Oh, yeah. So. Well, it's complex as P life.
It's complex. But I also wanted to say that as lots of our friends and, you know, people we know don't have a great relationship with their parents, but some of my work boys who've had tricky times with their parents, like when you – so now I am the parent. I love them like my own children. And I think that we don't really get that when we're on the other side. But, like, one of my work boys asked me to a party on Saturday night and I was the only person over 28. But to him, you're my friend and I love you and I'm doing something and I want you to be there. So I didn't stay for long, but I went. I had a really lovely time, right? Because once someone loves you, you want to be around them. Yeah. So that's what I want to say about, you know, not biological mums that are, you know, someone you meet at church or youth group or tennis. They're just as valuable. And, you know, like I've got P friend Bryony and she comes to all of our stuff because she's my family, right? Just because we're not actually sisters. Yeah, we are. I can message her and go, everything's gone to crap. And she'll be like, of course it has. Like, you know what I mean? So these are the... These people are, we put too much focus on family.
Yep.
And I know when family's good, it's good. But actually, friends that love us like family.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. It's all that matters.
Yeah.
That's it.
So I'm glad you've, really glad you've got that.
Yeah.
Yes. So it's really evident to Maddie and I that you've loved Sarah from the minute you met her.
Yep.
Is there anything else that you want to tell us about her or your life together?
Not so much about Sarah and I, but one thing that I just want to say to other peas. A pea mum once said to me, like, no matter how difficult your days are, no matter how challenging the behaviour, no matter how challenging the medical needs, just no matter how difficult, always find the rainbow, whether that's a smile, whether that's a great nurse at the hospital, whether that's your child had that moment mid meltdown where they just took a breath and you were able to just see that they were trying to get themselves through, just find that rainbow.
That's hard too.
Yeah.
But actually so true. I just think, you know, we've had some, everyone's had some tricky times, but when you come through it, you're like, oh, it's just this, other mums don't know, you know, and so, yeah, we are lucky.
So we just have to find the rainbow every day.
Yeah.
Yeah, and tomorrow is another day.
Yep.
You said that in the beginning.
Wait till tomorrow.
From that song, Wait Till Tomorrow.
Mandy's saying.
Tomorrow's fresh with no mistakes in it.
Yeah.
That's from Anna Green Gables.
Yeah, and it's
It's true. I hold on to that.
I know.
Every day.
Yeah.
When I fail.
Yeah, you know? As we all will.
Yeah, that's right.
But, yeah, it is new.
I just want to thank you, Erin, for coming.
Thank you.
Sharing your story with the peas. You could have your own podcast.
Yeah, you really
We say that to every pea, but that's the truth.
Yeah.
and
you're in the hangout.
You're an awesome member of the hangout.
Yep. Yep.
I love knowing you're close by. You just had COVID.
Yep.
Yeah.
Mandy delivered ice poles.
I messaged and said, do you need anything? I'm going to the IGA. She's like, I need icy poles. I'm like, yep, you're getting them.
I think nearly every day of COVID, someone delivered ice poles.
Isn't that the best?
I take my main food staple.
Yeah.
Yours or Sarah's?
Me.
Yeah.
Sarah wasn't eating at all. No, she was 100% chew food for 3 days. Yeah.
And she looked pale.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was weird to think you were in it, like we've been avoiding it, worrying about it. Was that a weird feeling? Sorry,
like,
I know
we've avoided
saying goodbye,
it for 2 years.
And then here we were. Wasn't your support worker in there as well?
Yes.
Yes. So yes, she got
so
it too?
Because I'd been on uni placement, we had a support worker staying with us.
Yes.
And, yeah, then, of course, I brought it home from school.
Yes.
Gave it to both Sarah and the support worker.
Yeah.
And so grateful to have the support worker staying with us. Yes. Like, all three of us got it, but she was the least affected.
Yes.
Oh, so she was able to
– she was managing.
Keep working or being the other parent, basically, for that time.
Tag teaming.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yep. And my memory of last Christmas, because we got our neighbours with the fake snow.
Yeah.
And Sarah came up. Oh, she was so happy. The fake snow just going all over her.
That was hilarious.
Oh, I just think she's precious. And I think you're extraordinary.
You are extraordinary.
You're all like a super P.
You really, really
and
are.
And the P tribe needs to get around you.
Yeah, they do.
Yeah,
they
and support really you.
Yep. You know, if you need icy poles,
Call
hit us up.
Call Manny.
I am also close. I can deliver.
And I was like, should I get lemonade raspberry or just lemonade? I was standing there for ages.
Yeah. So just an icy pole.
Yes.
Just plain lemonade icy poles. I would never choose an icy pole.
Yeah, but when you're feeling sick, it's a winner.
Oh, when you're sick. She said she loves them all the time.
Oh, do you?
It was mostly when I was sick.
Oh, wait, I thought you were like every day of my life.
No, every day of COVID.
I was like, you've got like an icy pole tattoo?
No. Normally,
when you're sick, sorry.
Yeah, at the start of COVID, I had like milky or almond milk icy poles.
Yeah.
But they just make your throat worse.
Yes.
Sorry, the lemonade ones. Bring them because
it was a sore throat, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Yes.
I know my best friend Rachel had it and she was like, okay, this is a sore throat. And she's had tonsillitis for years.
Yeah.
So that's
Well, I was happy to get them for you.
Thank you.
Yeah. And I thought she looked pale. I was worried for her. Yeah. But you got through it.
Thank God we had
that. I think it was the day after.
She was really sick. Because you'd had lots of communication with the hospitals and Eastern Health and,
Yeah, the hospital were pretty good. Amazing, especially when she decided breathing was
optional. Breathing, what
so
a worry.
Scary.
Yep. Well, you did an extraordinary job.
Did.
I'm really proud of you.
And continue to do so.
Yeah, that's right. Well, we're on your team.
We are.
And thank you for coming today.
Thank you.
Wow, Kate, Erin, what a woman.
I reckon that's one of the most amazing stories I've ever heard.
I think so too.
Yep. What a woman. And she just seems so happy.
Yeah.
You know, she just is an awesome person. And, I'm in awe of her.
Well, we never know all the P stories.
No,
and then
we don't.
We get to learn them, don't we?
Yeah, we're so lucky.
Yeah, and we know there's so much more she could have told us.
Yes.
Yeah, so it's just a little snapshot of her life.
Yeah.
But if you know her in the hangout, get around her, right?
Give her all the love today.
Yeah, she's doing a wonderful job with Sarah.
Oh, she changed Sarah's life.
She did. She saved her life probably.
Yeah. So what a women are the best.
Yep, women are the best. We're grateful she came in today.
So grateful.
Yeah. Awesome.
Yep. So what made you cry this
week? Well, it's been a rough week in the world, hasn't it?
Yeah, it has, I think.
So, really what made me cry was it was going around on the internet.
Yeah,
I
think
it's
the same.
The pictures of the Prem babies in the NICU in Ukraine. And I was just sobbing.
Same. I actually had to stop watching.
Yeah, I had to stop watching it too.
I thought those parents.
Oh, no, where are they? Where are the mums?
And the little babies. The mum just doing the ventilator by the nurse just doing it by hand. I was crying and I thought, this is evil.
Yep, this is evil.
How dare you do this to people, Russian Putin? I just, that made me cry.
Yeah,
that
was my cry. I could not stop.
No.
And Molly was just like, it's okay, mum, I'm here. I said, I know, but those little faces is what you look like.
I know.
Right? And we were away, but I had to just take myself away and just have a really big cry. Yeah. And I couldn't stop.
No. It was – and I just remember the fear of leaving a beautiful, safe hospital in beautiful, safe Melbourne. Imagine I'm running for my life and one of my babies or both of my babies are in an underground tunnel. I mean
– yeah.
Spaces. Anyway, I think everyone cried about Ukraine this week.
Yes, it was a lot.
They did. And then the we poor know floods. The floods. Yeah, yes, it's been a really
– and all those stories are emerging sad. Of people being rescued, and I just think of all the peas. And, you know, Molly was watching and she said, what about the peas?
Yes.
And I said, yes.
I know.
She said, I can't climb on roofs.
No.
I said, I know.
Yeah.
I said, well, everyone, we would lift you.
And
I
what
would...
if you've got – oxygen. Oh, and what if you
everything.
Oh,
wheelchairs, everything. Everything. I can't imagine what peas were going through.
No, and then you can't get to the shops, you can't get the things you desperately need. Yes. Terrifying.
Yes, we don't know the quarter of it.
No, we don't. So, yes.
So what made a difference to you this week?
Okay, I've had two things that made a difference, both pea related. Beautiful pea Carrie, who gave me my beautiful chickens, she sent this really pretty hamper.
Yeah.
It's just so pretty. You know when sometimes it's nice to get something pretty?
Yeah.
It had beautiful, a little posy of flowers. Posies are my favourite. And a bottle of rosé and a beautiful mug to drink tea out of and a honey. I don't know. She just said, I know life's tricky at the moment. And, you know, and then she said I had to share the rosé with Mandy, which was really mean.
Yeah, I said it's fine.
And then pea friend Mara. So, you know, I became a lipstick wearer during the pandemic and I haven't gone back.
Mm.
I wear it pretty much every day now.
Yeah.
Anyway, pea friend Mara sells the lipstick that I wear, and her and another pea, Jody, dropped off two lipsticks, but one of them's called Goddess.
Ah.
So they're like, yeah, for Goddess Kate. Anyway, I just like, wow. That I don't know. It made a huge difference in my life. So I'm a sender of little things and I don't really think about what happens when people get them.
Yes.
And anyway, makes a big difference.
Do you love language?
Yeah, I really.
And so when people go out of their way to think about these things for you, you feel it deeply.
I really do. It was really. I cried and cried. I really loved it.
You put effort into this stuff.
Yeah, it was beautiful.
And yeah, definitely.
So, yeah.
Well, we went away with our whole group of friends that we do every year. And
did anyone cancel from COVID?
No. And we sat around saying, is this happening?
Yeah.
And then at the end, we all sort of high-fived, elbowed, hugged and said, sorry, hope you don't get COVID.
I know.
Just as we left, we were like,
spread this?
Was this a super spreader event?
Mm-mm.
But Molly, I put in out, we've got a group chat for the whole time. And I said Molly was not wanting to go. She knows she doesn't quite fit in with all the teenagers. Mm. And everybody made an effort.
Yeah.
And she was actually really spoilt by lots of love and attention this weekend. So my friends did a really good job.
Yay.
And, we had moments. We definitely had moments, especially the lasagna. She just looked at the lasagna because we get it catered.
Yeah.
Just one amazing weekend of my life.
Yep.
And the food gets catered. So she stood in the line. She saw it was a lasagna. The next minute, pew, out the door. Ran out to the room
I know.
I just chased her. I said, it's okay. I've got noodles. She's like, I hate lasagna.
Yeah.
I was like, it's okay.
Yeah, it's okay. But food is so tricky.
It's so tricky.
And it triggers the fact that, I don't fit in. I don't eat what other people eat.
Yes.
There's nothing. No one's going to be eating what I'm eating. It's all those emotions in a split second.
All of it.
Yeah.
But what we did do, which was her suggestion, was to go to the Penguin Parade.
Yeah.
At Phillip Island. Now, my family's never done that.
Yeah.
So if those of you that can imagine or have never been down at Phillip Island, it's very famous for at sunset, the penguins come in and you can see them.
It's
anyway,
so
it
cute.
Was blowing a gale.
Yeah.
Like we were so much wind. Anyway, we all turned around. We're all standing there freezing, the adults, and we turned around and saw all these kids having a happy time. And Molly was just to the side but enjoying herself. And I just said to Darren, this is not about us.
No.
Anyway, it made a difference. Also, Kate and I got to speak to Trinity Grammar and do a talk
it was
on
so
Monday night.
Beautiful.
And we just want to thank Trinity for having us. We have no idea who was on there because we were talking to a screen.
Yes.
But thank you to that school for having Kate and I speak about inclusion.
And they were so incredibly receptive.
Yes.
They're like, yep, we're going to make changes. We're going to do I think you should be proud if you're
a parent. They bought 10 books off us. Yep, they wanted booklets.
Yep, they're in the reception, the foyer or wherever.
Yeah.
I don't know, I haven't been to the school. But
no.
It was really, really lovely. And I think any of you, if you're passionate about something, like Mandy and I are passionate about schooling and education and inclusion, to be paid to talk about that, to, and, you know, both of us have had a lot of issues financially over COVID, to just go, okay, this is a little, not a lot of money, this is a little bit of money that can make a difference in our lives. Yes. And we can talk about something we're so passionate about. It's just.
No, it's extraordinary.
It's extraordinary, and I will be forever grateful. I am, FYI, super grateful. We can do other schools.
Yeah. Yeah, so that made a difference to my life. It really did. And I'm really, it was terrific.
Mm. Okay, what made you laugh?
Oh, okay. We drive home. When I pick up Molly, we drive home past Shane, our paediatrician.
Yes, right?
So we just wind down that little side road and drive past. So we drive past and she goes, so remember, he's a paediatrician. Yep. She goes, Shaney, the podiatrist. Pediatricians think about being called podiatrists.
I don't know. I don't know. Do they do 12 years of study versus four or whatever?
I don't know. Still, there must be a hierarchy.
I mean, I love my podiatrists. Same. I think they're awesome. We need them. Yeah, we do. But that's hilarious.
It was so funny.
And Shaney. He's not as Shaney. Like, you know, some people you'd be like, hey, Shaney.
Shaney, the podiatrist. I was like, no, he's a paediatrician. Oh, gosh. I roared with laughter.
That's it now. I'm ruined every time I go there.
And then I said, okay, that did make me laugh. She said, put it on the podcast. Yeah, so it's all good. What about you?
So this week I was taking work boy Ben, his partner, girlfriend wanted to go to Costco and I've got a Costco membership. Yep. So I said, yeah, I'll take you. So we just like ducked out one evening. And so we've got a long hallway in our house and the bedrooms run off it. So I very delicately and beautifully screamed and said, hey, everybody, I'm going to Costco with Nia. I'm taking Nia to Costco. And then the door to the boys, they've got like another door, just flew open and Woody came running up. He goes, What did you say? And I said, what do you think I said? And he said, I thought you said, hey, everybody, just letting you know, I have chlamydia. Must have learned it at school.
He must
because
have.
We've never discussed chlamydia. We discuss a lot in this house, but chlamydia is not one of them. I said, for starters, I would probably come and sit down if I was going to tell you that story. I wouldn't scream it so the neighbours could hear it. Secondly, I'm going to Costco.
Look, if they were smart, it'd be their new campaign.
It would, yeah. Anyway.
Forever.
I just laughed.
Say that
I know. Now it's chlamydia. I'm going to get chlamydia. Just everyone, I've got chlamydia.
I'm going to get a piano, a 12-pack of muffins. A
$50,000 diamond ring. It's a chlamydia.
I'm getting 20 kilos of Cadbury.
Yep.
Oh, that's fantastic.
I know. Just the look on his face. I was like, what are you? Well, I couldn't think. What could I have said? But obviously, Nia, chlamydia. Oh. Anyway.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, so that was my big, big laugh.
What a week.
Yeah, it's been a week.
Oh, dear.
It really has. So anyway, thank you, Peas.
Thank you, Peas.
Thank you.
Thank you, Erin. Yeah, awesome episode. We'll see you Monday.
Bye.
Bye.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.